and we host Geek in the Streets,
a podcast where we share knowledge with each other on different geek and nerd topics. So join us for the conversation.
Starting now.
Welcome to Geek in the Streets. I'm Ian.
And I'm Ariel.
And this is a podcast for the geek and the nerd subjects you love if you're a little rodent and you are kind of like a knight too. And Ariel, what are we talking about today?
Well, you are talking about a comic series named Mouse Guard.
Yes, Mouse Guard. An elusive title. There haven't been that many Mouse Guards put out, but I am a huge fan, as you'll discover as we go through this. Ariel has actually read one of them, correct?
Yes.
And we thought we'd do a podcast on it and give a little shout out to something a little bit more independent than your big two Marvel and DC books.
Yeah, sometimes we like to look out for the little guys.
Well, as you always say, maybe we should just get right into it.
But did you get my joke?
Yeah, little guys, the mouse, because they're mice.
It was a double, not a double entendre. They're small and little. It was two meanings, but mice totally got and it. Like independent. Okay.
Mouse Guard is an American bi-monthly comic book series written and illustrated by David Peterson. It's published by Arkea Studios Press, and this is definitely more in the independent comic realm. And when I say that, I think I said this a little bit earlier, most of us think of comic books as coming chiefly from Marvel, DC Comics, and then Image Comics, even though Image is kind of like halfway.
Is that IDW?
IDW, yeah. I mean, that's one of the bigger kind of independent type ones, but like, you know, something like Arkea Studios is more independent. And gotcha. Speaking of its differences, you know, from a book in your hand perspective, it's different from the American standard comic size, which is 6.5 by 10 inches, and it's published as a square in 8-inch by 8-inch format. And it has won some awards. It was the winner of the Best Publication for Kids Eisner Award.
Ooh,
the
Eisners are like really sent you, huh?
Yeah, the Eisner Awards are like the Oscars for comics. For yes. Those of you that don't know, for the Mouse Guard Fall 1152 and Mouse Guard Winter 1152, and it was winner of Best Graphic Album Reprint Eisner Award for Mouse Guard Fall 1152. I don't know. You know how these award things are? It's like the more categories you have, the more chances you have to make other people happy.
Yeah.
So it's like best inker who used quill instead of pens. Right. You know, like they just have a lot of categories. So there's a couple series of these. Series 1 and 2 of the series have been collected in single volumes each, and they are titled respectively Mouse Guard Fall 1152 and Mouse Guard Winter 1152. So those are the main first two ones that establish the world. And then there is a prequel, which is its own full thing, called Mouse Guard The Black Axe. And I did find out there's some one-shots and extensions of this universe. We have Mouse Guard Spring 1153.
Is that the year?
Yeah, yeah, those are the years. And it was a one-shot with a free comic book day. I've never read it, never come across it. And then there was a Mouse Guard Legends of the Guard, an anthology with other creators. So this is, instead of David Peterson doing everything for it, he outsourced and, you know, let other creators work on it. That actually won an award for, an Eisner Award, I should say, for Best Anthology. So, or as Ariel likes to say, anthrology.
Uh-huh.
See our previous podcast that used the word anthology.
I think I only said it one time. I got it right in Mike Flanagan, so.
That's true, yeah. That's true. And then, there's also, I think, upcoming Weasel of War 1149, which is a sequel to Winter 1152. Don't ask me how those years work out. I do not know. But in terms of Mouse Guard, you know, comic book stuff, what I mentioned is pretty much all there is. Are you surprised, Ariel?
No.
Yeah, so
you told me.
I will say I purposely didn't put the years and such that they came out, because if you look at it, you would realize that it's an incredibly small output period for this particular creator, but I think the level of quality is so high, which I'll get into a little bit later, that it doesn't matter when it came out or how little it comes out. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So how did I come across Mouse Guard, Ariel? Do you know the story?
Yes.
But do our listeners?
No.
All right, so I'm going to tell them. So I came across Mouse Guard. I was in Artist Alley at San Diego Comic-Con doing as I do.
Why do you say what Artist Alley is?
Artist Alley is one side of the convention center. You have more of the what you would buy in terms of like shirts and comics and all that kind of stuff. But then on the complete other side, they have a section dedicated to just artists. And it used to be all the artists, but now it's kind of more the smaller artists where they just have tables. You can go right up to the artist and talk to them. You can ask for commissions. You can get sketches. They sell prints. They sell original art. But it's kind of the way that you can directly interact with artists and comic books, right? And so you might have heard previous stories about us and Rob Liefeld. Like, that is around Artist Alley. When I first started chatting with him, he was usually around that area. But Artist Alley itself is usually for smaller artists even than him. And I like to just, you know, a few times during the con, just walk up and down Artist Alley, get a feel for the year, get a feel for what kind of art is hip, what kind of artists are coming into the scene, see if any artists that are like on the smaller side working for DC and Marvel have a booth that I can check out, or, you know, just those kinds of things. Really just explore the art. And Ariel, you've done Artist Alley a few times. What do you think of it?
It was really crowded this year. Like, I couldn't it even was. Move. But it's cool. I like seeing all the different art. I always like want to buy something and I never do. But yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah, what always surprises me is what you consider classic comic book art is usually all not completely represented in Artist mm-hmm. Alley. You see a lot of different kinds of art, a lot of fantasy art, yeah. a lot of manga, a lot of things like that. So that brings us to this interaction I was having. So this was all the way against the wall. You know how there's the main part of Artist Alley, but then there's like a break, and then there's the ones against the wall that are mm-hmm. a little bit smaller. So I remember at that year, that's where the we'll call it the Mouse Guard table was.
What year was it?
I want to say it was maybe 2018, 2019.
Somewhere in there.
Probably. Somewhere in there, right? I'm going through that, and I'm looking at someone else's art across the table, and I just directly turn around. And this woman says to me, she says, "Hello, are you interested in Lord of the Rings and possibly rodents?" And I was like, do you know who you're talking to? At the time, we had a hamster, right?
Yeah, and you're a big hamster guy.
Yeah, and so I was like,
"Did we still have? We still had a hamster at this point in time?"
I think, yeah, at this point in time when I bought Mouse Guard, we did.
Okay, we've had two hamsters yeah. in our relationship.
So I just thought that was like the best selling point of all time. And I got to admit, a lot of times when you come to like the, what do you call it, like animal-based comic book type stuff, they don't always win me over. A lot of times the, like I'll give you an example, like they go more towards the cutesy sides of things. Characters have the bigger eyes, they're more polished, like that kind of thing. And so they don't always attract me. But, you know, with that opening, Lord of the Rings, Game of Thrones, and rodents, I was like, okay. So I talked to her and I said, all right, yeah, you know, I'll take a bite. Like, what are we talking about here? And she starts describing what the world is like and how it's like kind of dark and stuff. And, you know, it's all about these mice, the prey animals versus the predators. And she goes in and she explains essentially what Mouse Guard is. And then I looked at it and I looked at the art and I was standing with a few friends and we just all were like, whoa, this is incredible. So on the spot, I just bought the book. And she was like, oh, the creator is here. He's at this particular table. If you want, you can buy it from me. Well, first of all, I was like, can I get book one of whatever this is? And she goes, we only have book three, which was the Black Axe, right? And I was like, well, I don't want to get it. And she's like, don't worry, it's a prequel. And I was like, all right, I'll get it. So we get it. She says, David's signing at this booth. So we walk over there. He's very nice, you know, says hi to us and stuff. And I was like, yeah, I just bought this from your sister. That was his sister. And she said, I could get this signed from you. She's like, absolutely. So I'm talking to him. And he drew a little picture in. And I was like, that is so cool because he's an amazing artist, right? Mm-hmm. So I got my book signed, drew a little picture. And then, you know, after some time goes by after the con, I decided to read it. And was blown away, but I'm going to save that for a later section, how okay. I feel about this. But then I'm going to continue with another story. How do you feel about that, Ariel?
I love it.
As you know, we are big fans of Isotopes Comics in San Francisco, and I'm good friends with James Syme, the owner of that place. And for those of you that have never heard of it, I used to live in San Francisco. James Syme has a world-famous comic book store. It's featured in many, many comics. He is a character in The Invisibles, all that kind of stuff. But I thought for once in my life, I was going to have a one-up on James Syme, because I was in Artist Alley. I found an independent comic from the creator's sister. I read it. It was amazing. And I go, I finally get to introduce James to something. So I'm on a trip to San Francisco. And as I do, I make sure to go to Isotope Comics and see James. We're chatting for a while, chatting. And it was with my brother. It was when we were going to see Metallica.
I was wondering if it was when we went.
No.
I was trying to look up year, because that would have... Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
So it was actually, if you looked up Metallica S&M 2, that would be, it would be the summer before that.
Okay.
I'll look. Now we're honing in. But so I go to James and I go, I got something, James. I got something you don't know about. And he goes, oh, yeah? And so we're sitting at his table and I go, all right. So there's this comic. It's called Mouse Guard. And I describe it to him. I describe the art and all this stuff. And he's sitting there like the cat who ate the canary. And I'm like, what? What? And literally, Ariel, he points straight above his head. And I look up, and in his world famous toilet seat art collection, right above his head, David Peterson had drawn, you know, a mouse from Mouse Guard. And that meant that James had thrown a party, had a signing. David had been there. You know, so it was like, I was so behind being like, I got it. I found this comic and it was at Comic-Con and blah, blah, blah. And James was way ahead of me as usual. So I thought I could beat James Syme at something comic related, and I absolutely could not.
Metallica S&M 2 was 2019.
Okay, so I was close. What did I say?
Yeah, you said 18-19.
Okay, 18-19. Yeah. Cool. Mm-hmm. All right, so it must have been the summer of 2019.
What's funny is I thought it was the year I went to Comic-Con, but it obviously wasn't.
Yeah. So all this is to say, you know, why am I bringing up all these stories? Because Mouse Guard, in my opinion, is an amazing story and an amazing approach. So, you know, what I thought we would do from here is kind of go in and talk about what Mouse Guard is, how it's presented, you know, what the art is like, and kind of my takes on the story, and maybe if you have any takes on it, and go from there. I'm going to... Yeah.
Do you want to take a quick break first and then get into it?
That's probably a good idea.
Okay.
All right, we'll see you after the break. The Geek in the Streets podcast is supported by the Geek in the Streets podcast.
And listeners like you.
Well, not yet. And we are back.
We are back.
After our forced sabbatical, I thought I'd go in and start talking about what Mouse Guard is and some of the characters. And then I'll talk about like who my favorite character is, what makes the book special, and all that kind of stuff. All right?
Do you want to give like an overview before you do characters? Or you want to go like of what the story is, or you want to go straight into characters?
Yeah, so I'll give an overview of like the setting. So if I was going to say what the setting is, think of it as like medieval times. And there are these mice who are the protagonists, and it's like they're the ones with the kingdoms and the civilizations and stuff, and they're kind of set apart from each other, right?
And they're little mice, they're not like
human-sized
mice, right?
Yeah, they're just little mice. And so, and that gives you the natural that they, if they're the protagonists, then the predator animals such as wolves, weasels, owls, anything that would eat a mouse, right? They are kind of the antagonists and the things that the mouse guard themselves have to fight against,
and
right?
And are they humans?
No, there's no humans in this story. As far as I remember, I think there's no humans.
Okay.
But like all these characters, you know, they have different levels of intelligence. Some of them are like the mice, for example, are like humans, right? Mm-hmm. Some of them are a little bit more out there. Like the bats seem a little bit like hive mindy. And then, you know, weasels and such. There's different levels of intelligence for all of these. But
Gotcha. Essentially
it's like the good guys and bad guys. Prey animals work together, like, so rabbits, for example, let the mice ride on them, mm-hmm. you know, like that kind of thing. But yeah, so you have the mice that are just like living, but think of it like medieval times where there's like the king, the queen, you know, there's like a council, there's, and then you have the guard, right? And the guard are the ones who protect all the other mice on their travels. Because if their kingdoms are kind of far apart, what generally happens is like the adventurer is in between. Right. And so you'll have like, you know, one set of mice going to do something in the middle or like stopping a war or all these things. And then there's political intrigue going on in the castles and such. Right.
To interrupt you, but you know, it's kind of smart about making the rabbits that they would ride rabbits.
What?
You know, rabbits like who they digest their food like, right?
Who?
Horses.
Oh.
They're both hindgut fermenters.
Oh, there you go. I wonder if David Peterson, like, purposefully did that. I bet he did.
That's kind of smart.
It's a very intelligent story.
Yeah, okay. Sorry.
Continue. All right, so let's get into some of the characters. So you have Abigail.
Just some of them, huh?
Yeah, just some of them. Abigail, who's a healer. Now, this next one, it's pronounced Kelana. I've been saying Kelanwa forever, but it's Kelana. I saw it in, like, phonetically spelled. He's a champion of the guard from long ago, known by some of the guard as the legendary Black Axe, whose mythic tale was thought ended long ago. So the Black Axe is like the kind of...
He's that guy from Game of Thrones. Who's the guy that like Ned looked up to and he was supposed to be like the real hero?
The Morningstar?
Was it the Morningstar?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's kind of like that, right? Mm-hmm. Then you have Conrad, who's like a peg leg mouse who once trained with the Black Axe. You have Gwendolyn, who's the matriarchal leader. You have June, the innkeeper of the June Alley Inn. You have Kenzie, who's like, now we're getting into some of the guard who have different personality types. And you definitely see this play out when they're like working together. But he's known for his intellect and cleverness in battle. And he's very level-headed. And he's opposite to Saxon, which we'll talk about in a second. I see Saxon kind of like as Wolverine. Mm-hmm. But Landra, who's one of the guard's quartermasters. You have Liam, who's one of the youngest members. And he's kind of the one who's coming up in the guard, right?
Sword mousemanship.
Yeah, sword mousemanship. All right, and then you have Midnight, who's the blacksmith. Rand, who's the shield bearer. Roybin, who's the scribe. Sadie, who's a young guard's mouse, posted on the eastern shore, and she's in search of the camaraderie of other mice. And you have Saxon, who's the boldest. He tends to confront the problem with a blade drawn first.
That's who you are, probably.
He's hot-headed.
Yeah.
And all that kind of stuff. He's the bravest and strongest, but he also kind of causes problems. But he's like that way where, like Wolverine, where he'll cause a problem, but the problem was coming anyway.
Which mouse is most like you?
Well,
I would say that one just from...
Okay, so do you know who my favorite character is?
I know who your favorite character is, but I'm saying which one is actually most like you? Probably that one, right?
I think I'm the most like Kelana.
You wish.
I do wish. So let's get to my favorite character. Hands down, no contest, Kelana. Kelana is like, he's my heart, man.
God, are you going to cry?
A little bit. But Kelana, as you know, as I said earlier, the first book I read was the prequel of The Black Axe, right? Mm-hmm. And that story is all about Kelana and how he comes across the Black Axe. And what's funny in the Mouse Guard story, so I read The Black Axe.
I read that one.
Yeah, you did. What'd you think?
I don't remember.
Okay. What's funny about that one is that it's... you know, you see how Kelana gets the Black Axe and it's this total legendary thing. But in the other books, they think Kelana is like an immortal. They mm-hmm. think he's extremely special. Some people don't call him Kelana. They call him the Black Axe and such. So he's just totally badass, totally awesome.
I remember thinking it was really pretty. I don't really remember much about the story. You know, as we've talked about these things, comic books are sometimes a hard medium for my brain.
Right, right. You tend to, I mean, and I don't mean this as an insult, but it's like in one eye, out the other eye when it comes to some of the sequential storytelling. Do you think that's fair?
I don't know what you mean by that.
Well, you know, in one ear, out the other ear, but I just said eye instead.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, it's just not my medium. It's not my usual medium. You know?
Yeah, which is absolutely the opposite of me. I think I retain things from comic books better than I do from like movies and stuff.
Sometimes it's hard for me to follow the flow.
Yeah.
Like I kind of bounce around too much.
Yeah. But, you know, you brought up the art and it looking really pretty. So why don't we talk about what I think makes Mouse Guard special?
Sure.
So I have an independent comic book theory. I kind of mentioned this when we talked about Lock and Key. That most of the time I read comics from the big two and maybe Image, but and that's my bread and butter, right? And those are my favorite comics that I go for. But every so often you come across an independent comic that for some reason kind of eclipses that kind of work. Like I said, Lock and Key is one of those things where I look at this and I go, this is a perfect comic. And the fact that it's independent and fully controlled by one person means that you get the full story. There's no outside influences on it. And that, you know, when the story ends, it ends. When it needs to go somewhere, it goes there. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you know, with the art in Lock and Key, with the storytelling. I mean, we've seen even on Netflix how far it got away from that. The comic itself was perfect. Mouse Guard, to me, is in that same kind of theory where it's so different than anything I would ever consume. You know, I like superheroes, and here we are. We've got rats and mice and rabbits and all these kinds of things, and it's just amazing. It's amazing the intensity of which it is. And now we'll just get to, you mentioned the art. I think, and this is my big revelation for the podcast, it is some of the most beautiful art I have ever seen in a comic book in my entire life.
That's a big statement.
It is. I mean, there's something about it that he can, the art is taken so seriously. And there's so many small animal types of stories that focus on the cuteness, like I said before, the big eyes, the clean lines, they're a little bit more animated. But Mouse Guard is able to pour all the emotion into the art in a proportionately photorealistic way, but at the same time, it's clearly comic book art generated from more animated lines. And if you've never seen the art to know what I'm talking about,
We'll post something on our Instagram.
Yeah, we'll post something on our Instagram. Like, the eyes of the mice are very small and beady, and he has a way of making the emotions of the mice come through in such tiny gestures. And there's almost like a, it's not really like, I'm trying to think of a way to describe the art to where it's extremely detailed. It's almost like you would see like on medieval plates on something like that, but it's not strictly like that, but you're just going to have to look it up. The style of detail that he has, the lines aren't always super clean. It almost looks a little bit dirty, and he has a way of representing the animals in this way that's realistic looking, but at the same time, they're wearing armor. They're wearing, you know, eye patches. They got, he's almost representing an owl like a dragon. Like, you just got to see it to believe it. The art is that good.
All right. Big talk.
Yeah, so if I could do anything in this podcast to tell you, check out Mouse Guard, I would say, look at the art, imagine that in your hands on beautifully printed 8x8 paper, and that's enough. Like, even if you hated the story, you should still have it for the art. So that is the art. Anything you want to say about the art, or should I keep going?
Keep going. I remember it being pretty.
Yeah, it's extremely pretty, and like I said, some of the best comic book art I've ever seen in my life.
Maybe you should get a little Mouse Guard tattoo.
Dude, I would. All right, so... Now let's talk about the storytelling. I would say, if I was going to describe it, it's subtle, it's realistic, it's intense, and it feels lived in and, quote-unquote, real. The concept is, like we mentioned before, the prey animals are the protagonists, such as the mice in this case, and the predators are threats to the kingdom, such as weasels, owls, foxes. You get a sense, the similar kind of world and style of storytelling that we've done in, like, Name of the Wind or other fantasy books. Mm-hmm. And getting things from place to place is a dangerous habit. So if you have to go from this kingdom to that kingdom, you know, the road to get there is, you know, full of terrors. And
Night is dark and full of terrors.
That's what I was thinking when I said it. A delivery from one town to the next is a recipe for adventure and, usually in Mouse Guard, sadness as well. And the Mouse Guard are the defenders of the territories, mainly seeking safe passage for travelers and defending them on their way. So that's kind of my general overview of the story. I did think I would describe a little bit of the books that I have. Now, here's another revelation. I still have not gotten book one. I met David Peterson this past Comic-Con again. All they had was Winter and the Black Axe. So I still need to get Fall. Mm-hmm. Should I tell my David Peterson story of this year?
Sure.
All right, so long story short, went up to his table, super excited because, like, now I had context for how awesome this guy was. And so... when we finally got a chance to talk to him, he was talking to somebody, and I hope it was like, I always hope that it, like, he was talking to a guy from like Netflix or something like that, because he seemed pretty busy. But then he did point to us. He said, "I'll be with you in 1 second." And then once he came back over, I was like, "Hi, you know, I read The Black Axe. I actually got it from your sister," described the situation to him. And then, like, you know, bought the book. He signed it. He drew a little picture again, which was awesome. And then I told him the James Symes story, and he loved it, and he laughed, and he said, "Yeah, we had a lot of fun at Isotope." So, confirmed with the him and Isotope story.
Very cool.
So, I did get Winter, and Winter, to me, in terms of storytelling, I got similar vibes to Balto. You have this one set of mice that's trudging across the frozen wastelands, because it's winter, to deliver medicine. So Balto, right? Mm-hmm. Well, back in the kingdom, there's a plot going to unseat the good people in power. And as the mice get split up during their adventure, havoc ensues. You have one group of mice that kind of falls down this pit and is, you know, has an adventure with the bats, which is very scary. And
I think bats would be asleep in the winter.
Well, they kind of are, but when they're disturbed by the mice. And remember how I told you Saxon's like Wolverine?
Yeah.
Yeah, Saxon causes problems.
Mm. He's like Pippin Took.
Exactly.
Full of a Took.
And it's just like, hey, man, let's just keep it. And Saxon's like, nope, this is going to be a problem. And I'm getting ahead of it. Pulls out his sword. And then on the other side, you have Kenzie and Kellanaw. And there was a battle with an owl earlier. And then the battle continues. Once they get split up, the owl comes back and it's them two versus the owl. And, you know, I'm not going to spoil anything, but you should all read this one.
Or maybe not.
Then moving on to the Black Axe, like I mentioned before, it's a prequel and it features Kellanaw and how he came to be the bearer of the Black Axe. And it's a tale of romance, adventure, hardship, and a badass little mouse.
Yeah, and this is PG.
Who will always be my favorite one in Mouse Guard. I could describe it deeper, but I want people to read these ones. I want people, because this is an independent comic, go out, seek it, buy it, absorb the art, and then tell me the story's not awesome.
Gotcha. Do you know the plot of Fall or no?
I did look it up for the podcast, and then I stopped reading because, again, this is precious to me.
Okay.
And I didn't want to spoil it for myself. So right. I am purchasing Fall right after this. So
very fair.
Once I also found out that there were so limited of, like, collection-wise, that there's only three real ones, that I'm like, okay, I just got to get it so I can have the whole thing.
Yeah, right? Why not?
Okay, so that is Mouse Guard in terms of the comic books. Anything you want to add before we move on to the next section?
No, I don't think so. You did a good job.
All right. Well, there have been many rumors of film and TV adaptations, and I've heard about these throughout the years. But here's one that stood out to me because I had heard there was a possibility of a Netflix show, HBO show, like all that stuff. And I wasn't sure. It's like, is that animated? Is that going to be live action? But this is the one that was
live action with mice.
Well, or CGI,
live, you know. Actually, I would love a live action one.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, I did say live action, didn't
I? That would be cute, though.
Oh, my God.
I would do it.
All right, so the most interesting one to me was there was a film set to be produced by Matt Reeves.
The Batman?
Yeah, Matt Reeves, Planet of the Apes, Batman, was going to do Mouse Guard.
That would have been cool. You know, it's very funny that you brought up The Name of the Wind because it's kind of similar, right? There's been all those. I mean,
yeah.
Lin-Manuel was supposed to do The Name of the Wind and then that dropped out.
I know. It's like sometimes you get these artists that do such amazing work and writers and such, and then you see another artist is taken by it. Like Matt Reeves is a big deal. Lin-Manuel is a big deal. Like they got taste, you know? Like obviously Mouse Guard must be great. Obviously Name of the Wind must be great. But I digress. Wes Ball was set to direct. Andy Serkis and Idris Elba were some of the names being tossed around that were connected to it. Can you believe this?
No, it's crazy.
Matt Reeves, Andy Serkis,
Idris Elba? I can believe Andy Serkis, yeah.
What if I could totally see Idris Elba as Kellanaw, like the voice of Kellanaw?
Really?
That'd be awesome. Anyway, but like, it blows my mind that this never happened. So it was officially canceled, and rumor is that they spent $20 million on pre-production, and the expected budget was $170 million.
Now, would you prefer animated or would you prefer CGI?
Animated. I think 100% animated.
Like, are you talking about like anime style or try to keep it to the OG style?
No, if I would think if they could do something, you know how Into the Spider-Verse made a very conscious effort not to make their movie look like other movies.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is that kind of thing too. I wouldn't want it to look like Into the Spider-Verse. I'm just using that as an example. I would want to see the type of art style represented in animation as best as they could with the line work, like the comic.
So kind of clunky animation?
I wouldn't say like clunky animation. I'd say more hatching than you see in normal animation, like cross hatching and such. Okay. Even though he doesn't do much cross on his hatch, but just hatching in general, I'd want to see more of that than you would generally see. More ink, more blacks, you know, like that kind of thing. Not all gradient colors.
Okay.
So that's what I would want to see. And I think you would do that with a combination of CGI and traditional animation.
Gotcha. That makes sense.
So, but yeah, that's how I would see it.
I think it'd be creepy if they did CGI. Yeah. Like just CGI. Like The Lion King.
Yeah.
That'd be creepy.
But call me Matt Reeves. We can get this back on board. I have the vision.
Speaking of The Lion King, do you know my mom thought those were real animals at first?
You did.
She called me and asked me how they trained the lion to do that.
You mean talk?
Yeah, that's love a, you, Mom.
That's a big deal. All right, so I think they should make this happen. And if it were up to me, I would make it a series, not a movie, though.
Yeah,
I think
like a limited series.
Like a limited series, yeah. And that's not the only place that Masked Guard has had an imprint. There was also some games created. Specifically, there was a role-playing game, created by Luke Crane.
Hey, Luke Crane from Hill House?
Go check out our Hill House episode for the last time we said Luke Crane in 2008. And there have been a couple figures here and there and statues released of Masked Guard. But generally, for I think how good this comic is and how well-received it is by people, not a lot going on in terms of its cultural milieu. Like, now, this is it.
You wrote HBO series in there, but I actually think that Netflix could do something well with this. Because think of, like, The Witcher and Castlevania and all those animated shows they did. I'm talking about the animated Witcher movie. Is it a movie? The one with Theo James?
Yeah.
I actually think that Netflix, although, you know, HBO does have good animated shows like Harley Quinn, but I almost feel like it would, like, Netflix would probably do it right.
Well, I wasn't thinking of animated shows when I said
I know, you were HBO. Thinking live action.
Well, no, I was thinking, like, in terms of tone, like Game of Thrones had a great tone, you know? Yeah. But you're right, when it comes to the animated stuff, Netflix does have more...
They have some pretty good options.
Yeah, serious options than I would say HBO does.
Yeah.
But yeah, that is my podcast on Masked Guard. I encourage everyone to check it out. Huge fan. Love the art. David Peterson seems like a really nice guy. We've had a couple interactions with him. And hey, if he's good enough for James Syme, he's good enough for me.
All right. Well, Ian's been the nerd, and now we're all in the herd about the Masked Guard comics. Go check them out. You can probably order them online somewhere. And let us know if you do.
And also let us know when you read it if Kellanaw is also your favorite character. Or do you think you're more of a Saxon person?
Yeah, let us know. Like I said, we have an X and an Instagram. It's at Geek in the Streets Podcast. Let us know if you checked it out.
All right. Until next time. See ya.
The Geek in the Streets podcast can be found on Apple, Spotify, and wherever you find your podcasts.
Find us.
Now.